So I'm not sure that y'all are going to like me very much after this podcast, but I do ask you to stick with me. You know I have a good heart, and I am here for our forward movement, for our personal development, and for our overall well-being. But honesty is sometimes a very eye-opening task, and this is one of the podcasts where I'm asking you to trust me and to be open to really looking deeply into yourself and your actions, not to paint yourself as a bad person, but to actually strengthen who it is that you are and hopefully open some doors and some avenues for you to have better relationships with other people. We live in such an interesting time where we give ourselves fewer opportunities to discover, experiment, take chances, guess, and just be wrong. We shy away from vocalizing and taking risks because we're so scared to be wrong. And on the other side, we've grown so accustomed to needing to be right, even in matters of interpersonal decisions, so thoughts and decisions within ourselves, that we ignore, deny, or truly just struggle to take full ownership when we've done wrong to others and even to ourselves. I wanted to give voice to this because the inability to admit that we're wrong is stifling, misleading, heavy, and harmful, and it's also annoying. And it traps us in a fixed mindset when our mindsets should be able to change. It keeps us from becoming better people, and it denies folks who have been wronged the opportunity for genuine and collective repair. And speaking of collectivism and community, community work is such a buzzword these days, and that's not to take away from the intention behind folks who have always practiced community work or to even say that it being a buzzword is bad. I'm glad that it is something that's at the forefront. But I think when people are looking at or using community work or community as a buzzword, I'm not sure that folks are thinking about it in a mutually beneficial way or in a way where responsibility is shared. So sometimes it's not just about you getting the love and the apologies and the nurturing that you desire, but it's also about being able to feed the community, which might require you sometimes to admit certain wrongs that you've committed and to do the work to restore things that might have been broken. We make thousands of decisions every day. All of us cannot be right about them all the time, and yet we try to be, and it's become a bit normal. So in this week's podcast, I want to talk about being wrong and what that entails from a personal and interpersonal stance. I want to walk through the conflicting feelings of owning our wrongdoing and the process of accepting the consequences. And I also want to just tap into the unrealistic pressure we place on ourselves to be right all the time or almost all the time, and how it really damages our chance to learn and develop and evolve and connect. When listening, we might first think of all the wrong that's been done to us, but I challenge you to also think about how this could be you, how you could be the person doing the wrongdoing. We're going to explore three main questions. One, how do our emotions and actions manifest when we've caused harm to someone and must navigate their journey of healing afterward? Two, what can we do and what are some corrective action steps we can take when we've wronged someone else? And lastly, how do we come to terms with having made the wrong decisions for ourselves, and how can this help us from staying stuck in the past? Hello and welcome to Root of Nord, the podcast. Nord means light in Arabic. Here we tap into honest conversations, exploratory questions, and interviews centering well-being, introspection, culture, and community. In this garden, we celebrate the whole story, the root and the bloom of our individual and collective human experience. I hope this podcast helps you to connect deeper with yourself and others. Thanks for choosing to be here. Enjoy this episode. I want to first start with the interpersonal relationships, so relationships between ourselves and others, and I want to focus on the situations where we are the ones who are wrong. And I know that not many of us take this position, or we might be scared to take this position of being the ones who caused the harm or who were wrong. But I really hope we start to move in a direction where this becomes easier to do and more normal to do, because admitting when you're wrong can greatly enhance the connections and relationships that we have with each other. Now, the inability to do that, at least initially, to look at a situation from a lens where you assume or acknowledge that you might have been the contributor that added something negative or made a mistake that caused an undesired reaction, it's not always rooted in a psychological disorder or some grave characteristic flaw or in some sort of pathology. There is a theory, the self-affirmation theory, that explains that we are hardwired to maintain a positive self-image, and that whenever that positive self-image is threatened, we're also hardwired to remember or engage in activities that affirm the goodness of who we are. So I say that because as we move through this, I just want to remind us that it's not necessarily abnormal that someone takes a little while to come to the conclusion that they've done something wrong. However, it does become an issue when they're almost never able to admit that they're wrong, or when they go to great or dangerous lengths to preserve this idea that they didn't do anything wrong. So, back to the first question, how do our emotions and actions manifest when we've caused harm to someone and must navigate their journey of healing afterward? So sometimes we do the wrong thing and we cause harm to someone, and then we get upset with their healing process. We get impatient with how they have or how they've chosen to learn to trust us again. And out of insecurity, we get frustrated and feel wrong as though we are the victim. And sometimes we go as far as to poke holes in their character to soothe ourselves into righteousness or to absolve ourselves from the harm we initiated. The truth is, sometimes we have to earn people's trust back. The truth is, sometimes we're not going to get back to the place we once were. The truth is, sometimes we need to just accept that, even though it is really difficult and it can be painful, because the reality that our actions impact folks and that some of our actions take a long time to repair or recuperate from, or that those actions alter a relationship forever, is real. It's real life and it happens. The other truths are, you could have done something wrong and you can still be hurt by someone's justified response. It's just not a good feeling. It sucks and it's sad, but even still, we don't have the right to speed up someone else's healing process just because we are feeling uncomfortable. When we choose not to accept our wrongdoing, or that the person we've harmed chooses not to allow us back in their lives at all, or with the same access we once had, some of us throw an adult tantrum. And what I mean by that is, instead of owning the wrongdoing and healing through the consequences, we make a choice to ostracize or belittle or just be mean towards this other person, or we want to minimize the experience of that other person. And this can look like running to mutual friends and trying to tell them the story first. It can, again, look like minimizing your actions, which may have started or initiated the issue, and amplifying the harmed party's response. So in essence, trying to sway folks to be on your side by creating this view or this picture that this other person is behaving irrationally. This can also look like expressing your guilt to others to gain sympathy before the harmed party has a chance to confide in someone to get some support for the harm that was done to them. Sometimes this even looks like cutting off all communication with the person you harmed before they have the opportunity to do so with you in order to avoid feeling hurt or abandoned, or to avoid truly owning part of a consequence that might be warranted based off of the actions that you displayed. Okay, so I know right about now we're probably thinking about how some of these very examples and scenarios have happened to us. And we might start analyzing other people's behaviors, but I'm asking you to bring it back and stay with me, because I would not be surprised that a lot of people can resonate with some of these things. But let's just think about how if so many of us can resonate, that means someone was doing these actions. That also means that it's likely and it's possible that we could have committed these actions against someone else. And part of well-being and growth, and again, this podcast, is not just to talk about well-being when it makes us feel good, but to ask us to reflect on how we might be contributing in ways that are not conducive to other people's well-being. So even if you started thinking about how someone did something to you, stop and pause and think, has this ever been me? Have I done this to someone? Is this a habit that I have? And how can I correct it? Nobody wants to be the bad guy in anyone's story, but the truth is we have all been. And it's important to accept that and to deal with it in a healthy way rather than to refute or engage in other harmful behaviors like denial and belittling and gaslighting just to prove that we can never be the wrongdoers or the culprits. So, second question, what can we do, or what are some of the corrective action steps we can take when we've wronged someone? For one, we need to self-reflect and honestly be open to the fact that, surprise, we are not perfect, and intentionally or unintentionally, we will and have hurt someone's feelings. We have to genuinely understand that we can be at fault and that sometimes we actually are. We also need to learn how to apologize without feeling owed entrance back into someone's life. In this sense, we have to grow up and own our actions. Apologize for real without expectation. Commit to action. An apology and action go hand in hand. You can follow up and or follow through on changed behavior. That is the best form of an apology. And then you need to heal through your consequences, whatever they may be. Accept them and then choose what's next. How are you safeguarding against the negative actions you exercised in the future? How are you accepting and respecting a new normal? And that new normal might have been set by the person that you harm. What characteristics will you dismiss and develop within yourself to be better, even if the person you harmed may never get to see or know the ways in which you've changed? We may not always be able to restore a relationship to what it was before we initiated harm, caused harm, or we wronged someone, but we can learn and we can honor them, whether they choose to continue a relationship with us or to end their relationship with us, by respecting their healing and healing ourselves to make better choices in the future and with the people that we're still connected to. So the last question that we are exploring in this podcast is, how do we come to terms with having made the wrong decisions for ourselves? And how can this help us from staying stuck in the past? So we're shifting from interpersonal relationships to intrapersonal relationships, the relationship we have with ourselves. And I don't know if you know this, but sometimes we're wrong about who we've chosen to be in relationship with, about the checkout line we chose at the grocery store, about the job, about that major, about the college, about that friendship. Realistically, we make countless decisions each day, and every single one of those decisions cannot be correct. Statistically impossible. Even the decisions that we might have once felt so passionately right about, those decisions can turn out to have been wrong. And I think especially when we felt we were making the right decisions, there is this inability to accept that we've made the wrong choice for ourselves. And that can cause damage. And the kind of damage that I'm talking about is the kind that keeps us repeating poor behaviors. It keeps us stuck in negative cycles and developing an incorrect negative sense of self. Do you ever think about or know how many dysfunctional relationships continue because people cannot admit that they were wrong about who they chose or who they allowed to choose them? How many poor partnerships persist, not off of love, respect, and joy, but out of ego and appearances? Do you know how many unhappy years we spend at a job or in a career position, all because we don't permit ourselves to have been wrong about a decision, but we'd rather bear the consequences, sometimes for years, to avoid admitting to ourselves and others that, hey, we just made the wrong choice? It's a bit wild when you think about it, isn't it? When I was an undergrad, one of my biggest regrets to date was caving into the cultural, societal, and at the time, the academic pressure of switching from psychology to a more hard science. And I did. And I say hard science in quotes, but I did. And it was the worst decision because I struggled big time, not because I couldn't grasp the content, but because I was so disinterested. So I graduated, which was a struggle. And then I went on to pursue a master's in that very subject that I left 5 years later because I couldn't let it go. I went on to pursue my master's in psychology. And now I implement that into my career choices and businesses. Now, imagine if I kept pushing in the wrong direction, because I almost did that. In undergrad, I applied very sloppily to a master's program. I didn't get in, thank God. But just imagine if I kept pursuing that path, I would have been miserable. I would have been educated, but I would have been miserable. And I acknowledged early that I made a mistake in switching my major. I worked in education for 10 years, for more than 10 years now, and I told all my students not to repeat that mistake, that to change their minds and to really feel things out. If something isn't right, don't force it to be, no matter how much you think you've already invested. So I got to spend many years traveling, enjoying my work, and then enjoying the rigorous learning of psychology at a master's level, rather than pushing myself in the wrong direction and achieving unfulfilling goals, only to fight to be in career spaces that I would have genuinely disliked. And I would have done all that all to come back here, exactly where I am today. So there are some lessons that we have to learn the hard way. Dedicating 15 years to a person or a job we know isn't for us is a difficult lesson to endure. Some of us might have witnessed that before. Some of us might have began down this path and then made the decision to end it. There's no shame in how we come to our destination, but I just want to remind folks that it doesn't have to be this way. It doesn't have to be years on years on years of doing something that you know is not right in your spirit. We can stop. We can pause. We can start something else. We don't have to force ourselves to be committed to something that isn't in line with who we are and where we want to go. It's okay to have made the wrong decision. In some ways, I know it's easier to fight being wrong, to choose to roll with that wrong decision and try to make it right or appear right. It relieves us of the guilt, the shame, sometimes the embarrassment, the task of self-reflection, and or the confrontation and the explaining that we have to do to other people, even to ourselves sometimes. We tend to get more comfortable going down the wrong path because it's familiar, we know it, than to take the new path, even if that is the correct one. But I'm telling you, it takes so much pressure off when we pause mid-journey and just accept that, oh, maybe I was meant to take a left instead of completing an entire course on the wrong track just to get to a finish line that wasn't meant for me and has nothing beneficial for me on the other side. It's easier and more relieving to just work with your wrong and find your way back to the right path than it is to force something that isn't good or meant for you. And there's actually this study by Barry Stahl. It's called, or it's titled, Knee Deep in the Big Muddy, a study of escalating commitment to a chosen course of action. And pretty much it just explains it. It's about a study where people were given a project and they were tasked to see that project through. But then they were told at some point after they got invested that, hey, this actually isn't feasible and it's not going to work. And pretty much like you should stop. And the study showed that most people continued with that, even though they were told that this is never going to work. And the reasons why people continued is that they either had this feeling that, hey, I was already invested, so to give up would be a waste. There were people that were just in denial of the truth. People were interested in engaging in actions that affirmed their values and beliefs because it would have just been too difficult to accept at that moment that what they were doing was, you know, for no reason or that there wouldn't be a good result. And then self-justification, like just point blank, they couldn't admit that they were wrong. And then there were some smaller reasonings like being misinformed or just having a really high sense of optimism. But I bring this to light to mention that it's not uncommon. We just have to undo this idea that we can't afford to be wrong, when in truth, we can't afford to think that we're always right. That is what really costs us. When we admit that we're wrong, we empower ourselves to change course. We have to first admit that this is not the right path before we can even take action to do the right thing. So again, in this study, not being able to admit that they were wrong or that they were doing the wrong thing kept them digging themselves deeper and deeper and deeper into a situation that was going to end badly. And they knew that. They were spending so much trying to make what was inevitably going to be wrong right. They just couldn't give it up. So again, to say that you're wrong gives you an option to shift. Being wrong is not the thing we should be stuck on. We should really focus on what are we going to do now and what can we do next. At the root of it, I think being wrong is something we link to our perceived sense of value. And it might also be an indication that because we've made mistakes, we have work to do. And that might reinforce that scary idea that we're not enough. But the truth is that as humans, we have to be wrong sometimes. And instead of working so hard to combat that, lean into it and trust yourself to correct your mistakes. Trust yourself to apologize when you need to and to repair the harm that you may have caused. And even though we're creatures of habit, it doesn't make more sense to finish a rotten meal just because you started it when you have the option to eat at a Michelin star restaurant, even if you never get to finish. Starting the right course is better than finishing the wrong one. This Sunday, April 28th at 2 p.m. Pacific time, I'll be hosting a workshop titled Accountability for Self-Liberation. We'll be talking more in depth about some of the topics discussed in this podcast, in addition to investigating what it really means and what it looks like to take accountability when you are not the cause of certain consequences. I hope to see you there. You can find tickets on the website at rootofnord.com. The questions I'll be leaving you with today are, why do you think it's difficult to admit when you're wrong? When someone has wronged you and didn't admit it, how did it make you feel? And what would have been helpful for you? When is the last time you admitted you were wrong? And what were the positive and or negative consequences? And how was that helpful for your growth? Much gratitude for listening. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen to be notified of the next episode release. If you'd like to stay connected or stay up to date on other facets of Root of Noor, like workshops, introspective questions in the form of newsletters, make sure you subscribe to the website at www.rootofnoor.com. Choose love, keep faith, take care, and do well. Until next time.